that was beautiful. Can we just do the chorus? Can we sing that chorus? Did you listen to the, I know you all know the words. Just listen to that. It is no secret. And he's still speaking. He's speaking through Jerry this morning to me. That just touched my heart deeply.
Just the chorus.
Just the chorus. Okay. It is no secret. Your heart, then we need to pray because something's going on there. Your heart's not pumping. So I welcome you this morning. It's a cold and brisk morning, but oh, did any of you happen to look out in your yard today and see the birds feeding? Such beauty. Blues, reds, and the morning doves. Oh my, such beauty. God creates, I tell you.
Amen.
Yes, he does. Before we get started, are there any announcements?
Anyone that has wants to take their flowers home today can.
Yes, please. Anybody that wants to take the flowers, and those that didn't buy, there's extras here. Please take them. That way I won't have to remember to order them. Gary?
I just have some community things here. First of all, in the back on the bench is our butchering papers. The church is always involved in that as well. But anybody that wanted to order any meat or anything, they're laying on the back bench, and you can fill them out and give them to me or put them in my mailbox. Also, the fire company is doing tickets for the Stein family that lost their 14-year-old boy. We're trying to help them with the expenses. With hospital and everything. So if you want a ticket to put in towards it, you can. Or if you just want to make a donation, see me. I have them as well. And that will be up. They're going to do the drawing for the tickets on the 28th of January. And also on the back bulletin board, the auxiliary is doing a soup and sandwich sale. So the paperwork's on the back there with that information. And then the fundraiser committee is doing, I know we're doing Super Bowl soup. They're doing pizza and wings. So if anybody wants to, that's all on the back bulletin board there. So if you have anything you want to do. So.
Yes, reminder, don't forget your soup, canned soups this month. Bring in. We have to the end of the month, and then I'll turn it in that following week to the food bank. It's a great cause. You know, with that being said, that's what church is about. I mean, yes, we're here. We're here to learn about the Lord and his ways, and we're here to worship him and give him thanks and praise. But also, we as his children are called to go out past those doors and do outreach. So I would like to see in the coming year, maybe this is a new year, where Rocky Ridge does more outreach into the community. And I don't know. It's just been on my heart. Of course, you know me. I'm a little weird sometimes. But anyway, with that being said, just wanted to read you a couple notes of thank you. The Thurmont Food Bank, the Outreach Committee, Maxine sent out some love gifts this past December, and one of them was to the food bank, and they just wanted to thank us for donation for the food bank of $200. They said, we have been blessed by this gift and the gifts of so many others. We are deeply grateful to live in a loving and compassionate community that reaches out to others. I did not realize this. They serve an average of 350 households in our area with approximately 1,000 individuals each month. Just think about that. That's a tremendous outreach in our community. And then I had Carol, I asked Carol if she would send something from our church. I kept getting notices from the Child Evangelism Fellowship chapter. What they do is, I don't know if any of you have children or grandchildren in the local schools. I don't know how many counties do it, but I know in Frederick County they have a program, after school program. And it helps parents, also those that they have to pick up their children but they're working or whatever, but at that time is used wisely. There's teachers, Christian teachers that come in, and they'll teach them Bible verses. They'll teach them Bible, give them Bible knowledge or whatever. So it's a Christian fellowship time. And we're blessed right now in the country we live in that in this area we're allowed to do so, because you know there's some schools that there's even some libraries now that don't want anything to do with Christians. So Carol sent a check for $50 just to help with that ministry. I think it's a worthwhile cause, because let's face it, if our children are not here learning God's word, they surely don't hear it at school. So where are they going to hear it? If the homes are too busy to teach it, you know, you've been working parents, mom and dad sometimes come home exhausted. The last thing they want to do is read a Bible verse or whatever. But at least this little bit is getting to all the children, well, whichever ones participate in this program. So it's a worthy call. So I'll post them up back there on the outreach thing. Don't forget, there's a sign-up sheet for cleaning. We do once a month cleaning volunteer. So if anybody's interested in signing and taking a month, that'd be greatly appreciated. And I just want to say that cold and flu season's here, folks. There's a lot sick around the area, so let's be mindful of our bodies. I know I'm one that I say, oh, it was because I was using the Clorox, and because I always have allergies to certain chemicals, but I have to be more mindful of that. So let's all be mindful if we're not feeling well, to take the necessary precautions. Any others? Okay. Call to worship comes from Matthew 3, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And follow along, because I'm sure to err somewhere along the line. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill our righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and a lightning upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. May we bow our heads. Father, we just thank you again for that most precious gift. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you sent your one and only Son as a gift to mankind to cover our sins, Father. What more ultimate love can that be? Father, in the days ahead of 2023, help us to put our focus on you, put our thoughts on you, and open our heart up and receive all that you have to give us, whether it be in the way of spiritual lifting, physical healing. We just ask that, Father, you come. Come to each one of us. Be near us and keep your arms around us. And we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Amen. Okay, now we can all join in hymn number 2.
Please stand for Raven.
Thank you.
now maybe we bow our heads for a brief word of prayer over our love box back there with the offerings. Father God, we just come before you to, once again, to lift you up, to lift your name up. And Father, we just ask that you would put a special blessing upon the love offering box back there. Bless those that have contributed to your work here. Father, we just ask that we help us each one to be good stewards of the finances so that we can build your kingdom, that we can do your work, that we may go forth and bring others to you, Father. And it is in the precious name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Okay, sharing joys and concerns.
My sister Irene, she's got Parkinson's and she's been having a lot of hallucinations. Thought this is simply crazy.
Oh.
Yeah. And her family, you know, it's hard for them to deal with all this.
Usually the ones closest are the ones that have the, you know, most difficulty. Who else? Frank?
There's been several in our congregation that has come down with that COVID. Steve and Faye and so forth and ones. And I just talked to them this morning and both of them have been diagnosed with the COVID and they're still feeling the effects of it, improving slightly. Bob and several others, I'm not sure who else. But want to keep them in our prayers. Also, there's been numerous ones in our congregation that have had other issues, mentally and physically and so forth. We want to continue to pray for our country and also the countries within our world. Bless the leaders that they will take and call on the Lord to guide them. And we're thankful that we've got Brother Say this morning to bring us our lesson.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Others, Josh?
I want to pray for my family this week as this coming Thursday will be 3 years since my mom passed away.
Most definitely. Josh, I bless you for being here too. I saw a hand on this side.
Yeah, I want to pray for Ricky and all of our family and everybody that's sick and face and test and whatever that they need their prayers.
Yes. Brad?
I want to continue praying for Brother Phil. Thank you, salvation for Brad. Continue praying for Woody. His cancer issue. His family.
I have a joy. I was able to visit with Velma and Jack yesterday. They came down, and she's doing very good. Still does ask for prayers, but she has done tremendous on with the cancer, and she looks a lot better. Also, my list, and just keep me in prayer. On Tuesday, I go back to the knee doctor for my one-year anniversary. And hopefully he says I'll be released totally. So hopefully all things go well on Tuesday.
The way you're going, I'm sure it'll be breezing through. I just want to keep Colton on the prayer list. He's traveling back to school today. And I just can't believe he's 21. And I still think of him as needing Mother Hen sitting beside of him in the car, you know. So let's pray for Colton for safe travels. And George, we need to keep George in our prayers. He's had a long road and tough road, struggling. So we all have someone in our families that are struggling with some sort of disease or illness. But never get down. Don't let yourself get too down about it because the Lord is there. He will take care of it. We may not understand why it's not done immediately because like Karen said this morning, I want right now, but that's not this way. Any others? Let's come before the Lord, however fit to do so. Oh, kind Heavenly Father, we keep saying we can't thank you enough, and it's true. We could be here all day giving thanks and praise and honor to you, Father, for all the things that you do. From the tiniest little, like just looking out the window this morning and seeing your creation, what a blessing. To the major things that you have your hand on, just like Thelma coming along so well. Father, we just can't thank you enough. Father, we thank you for your house of worship here. Father, as the new year begins, help us in the right direction. Lead us so that your house here will be an outreach and a blessing to others. And that we may, through whatever we set our hand at, whatever we do, that it'll draw others to you, Father. That this church maybe one day will be filled again, filled with your children. May our Sunday school be filled with children young and old. Father, I pray over this directory. Each family that's represented here, we just ask a blessing upon them. And may the Holy Spirit work this year, that 2023, we see them coming back to you. Coming back to your house to be close to you, to worship you, honor you, praise you, serve you, Father. Father, we pray over the prayer book back there. There's many unspoken prayers listed here. We don't know the reason, the name or the reason, but Father, we know you know. So we just lift this book up to you this day, Father, that you work mightily upon those listed in this prayer book. Father, now we have many that are sick. We think of Maxine's sister, Irene. We just ask that you would be with her, that you would be with the family and give them the strength and the coping mechanisms so that they can go through this trial. Father, we think of Faye and Steve and Bob and Linda and Carol and Danny. Each are not feeling well or just recovering, and we just pray that you would give each one of them a speedy recovery. Father, we think of Doris, who's going to see a second opinion doctor this week. Father, just give them safe travels and give them a positive report. Father, you guide the doctor. You give him the knowledge. Father, we think of Josh's family. Help them this week. Give them some peace as they remember their loved one. It's never easy to lose a mom, but Father, we just know that you are there with us, that you will help us through. Bless Josh this week as he enters school, and just let him have a good week and let things go smoothly so that he's not burdened down, because he's already his heart's already hurting this week. So we just ask a special blessing from Josh. We think of the Baker family. So many of them are struggling with illnesses. Rick is a living example of what God can do. I mean, he's up and about and moving around and always has a smile, Father. So we just thank you for the Baker family. We just ask that you continue to keep your healing hand upon them. We think of Phil, and we think of Woody, that are battling cancer, Father, and we just ask that you be with them and be with their families. Give them that strength and support they need. And a prayer of salvation for families. Who here doesn't have some peep, one of their little peeps that they want to see come to you, Father? So, Father, we just ask that you be with our families, that, and if there's any way that we can influence our families to come to you, to accept you as their Lord and Savior. Please guide us. Help us to do that. Father, we think of Jerry's list. I'm sure it's very long. When we think of Jerry's checkup this year, let all go well. Let it be a positive report in that area as well. And Father, we just lift up George to you. He's had many struggles in the last, oh my, the past year has been really tough, struggling with doctors and getting into hospitals and finding out what needs done. And we just ask that you would give the doctors the knowledge to know how to handle this cancer and that you would eradicate it from his body. Bless him. Bless Alice for standing by him and being there for him, and give a blessing to his family as well. Father, we just pray for this country. We don't need to go into detail, for you know all. We just ask that in the midst, you be there in the midst. And where they're too hard-headed or stiff-necked to follow you, Father, you be like the old Balaam and the donkey. You just take control and turn it for good. Father, we ask that you give safe travel mercies to Colton. See that he gets down to school and just watch over him, protect him, Father. Watch over our military and our police. Keep a special eye out and a special arm around Kyle and Ian and Caleb and Elijah. Father, now we just lift up Brother Sam, for we know that he has meditated and he has studied this week to bring forth your word. And Father, we just ask that you give him and Sister Jackie a special blessing for their efforts, because they're always out and about doing your work. And when he gets behind this sacred desk, that his words flow freely, and those words will be your words, I'm sure, Father. And help us as listeners to be awake and be ready to hear and to receive the word that he has for us. Now may we unite our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Okay, hymn number 110.
Stand if you're able.
Thank you.
Our sermon title this morning is called Characteristics of an Effective Local Church. Scripture reading comes from Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen. Now let's give Brother Sam our undivided attention.
Thank you, Debbie. It's always good to be in church. Be on Rocky Ridge on Sunday morning, a little cooler sometimes, but better than it was a couple of weeks ago. I like to take a morning walk, and I say I take a morning walk every morning in Thurmont. I put a new rule in this year. I don't walk when the wind chill is below zero. So we had to change our pattern a little bit. But now in prayer, then we look into the Word of God. Father, we give thanks today for your Word. Thank you that we can gather here and we have our freedoms. Thank you to those that have guarded our freedoms. Thank you for the ones today, right now, that are on duty watching over us. We know that you are watching over us. Help us to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Some months ago, I did a message on the church at Berea. What I like to do is to study the churches in the New Testament and then compare them to us. But you might say, well, that didn't seem fair. But the churches in the New Testament weren't all perfect. The church in Ephesus, by the time of Revelation, had lost their first love. The last church mentioned, Laodicea, was lukewarm. In between, there's a church on their Sunday school staff. They had Jezebel. Now, we have a Deborah, but I'd rather have a Deborah than a Jezebel teaching. So we have that. So as I was preparing for this message today, I like to do a series of messages. You saw last year, we did another series of messages on the armor of the believer. So I like to do a series. Really, what I like to do is to go verse by verse through a book of the Bible. But I'm a little apprehensive of doing that. I mean, in one of my ministries, I did verse by verse through the book of Genesis. But I don't want you folks to think he's going to preach through the book of Genesis. He's already an old man. So I'm afraid to go verse by verse through Genesis. So this past week, I was thinking of the church of Jerusalem. We're going to look here in Acts chapter 2 in just a moment. And then in 2 weeks, I've already done the church of Berea, today the church of Jerusalem. And in 2 weeks, already this past week, I'm thinking, you know, I think I'm going to do 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the church at Thessalonica. I haven't started officially studying, but when Debbie talked about outreach, it was like God said, go for it, because that'll be the outreach message about the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it says, from you sounded forth the word of the Lord. So we like to look at these churches. They weren't perfect. The church at Galatia, Paul called them fickle. That's pretty bad when the preacher gets up and calls you guys are fickle. So we want to see today the church of Jerusalem, characteristics of an effective local church. And it begins in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there added them about 3,000 souls. My first point today reception of the Word of God. Now, Karen and I do communicate by email. So I found out with her what I email later on. It's going to be in the bulletin. Now, she does say she does do spell check to make sure I got the words right. But what I put in there is pretty well what she does. But I don't coordinate with David Jeremiah and what you're seeing in the video. And I have no idea how long ago that video was taped. It wasn't last week. And it's amazing what David Jeremiah and what we saw in Sunday school matches what I'm talking about today. That they gladly receive his word. And so the idea is instant acceptance. When God's word was preached, they instantly accepted it. Have you ever quoted a Bible verse? Someone rolls their eyes. Oh, that old book. What I like to do is quote Bible verses because it's an indication. When you hear somebody quote a Bible verse, you respond, don't you? Yes, I know that verse. Others, they don't have any idea what that verse means. They haven't memorized it. Now, David Jeremiah talked about sword drills. I don't know if you've ever had, have you had sword drills here, to, even though what we're talking about when it says, put your Bible closed, and then you give a quotation, find certain verses of the Bible, you have to read it. And then whoever has it stands up and quote, and reads that verse. One time at our summer camp, I hated this. They had the adults against the teenagers. And those kids are quick. And they can find the verses bigger. And we were, the adults, we were getting beat. And the director did something I think was really beautiful. Instead of saying Leviticus 1:3, he would say third book of the Pentateuch, 3:1. And they don't know what the, we know it, Leviticus, third book of the Pentateuch. Or he'd say the third synoptic gospel, 3:16, which you would say is John 3:16. And so we were able to beat the kids that way. But otherwise, they were protesting. It's not fair. We don't know what the Pentateuch is. But it got us into the Word of God. And it says here, they gladly, with delight, with pleasure. And I was going to watch how Debbie introduced me. She didn't roll her eyes and say, oh, well, we're stuck with him for a while today. But there are people, when you give them a Bible, it's like you're giving them fentanyl. Like you're giving poison. To us, we want the Bible. It says, they gladly receive. In Acts 21:17, it says, when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. The Bible says, I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sunday morning, do I have to go to church? Absolutely. But I'm telling you this right now. People that don't go to church don't know what they're missing.
Amen.
My next door neighbor, he doesn't have any idea, especially when it's a Rocket Ridge Sunday and a certain free vehicle pulls up in front of our house and we get in, how happy we are to be up and coming to Rocket Ridge. They don't have any idea. Oh, it's a tall thing. No, we love to go. We enjoy going. I look forward to coming here. And so it says they gladly, and the word receive means receive without reservation. When you quote the Bible verse, oh, you believe that? Yes, I believe the Bible. So it means that they gladly receive. They wanted to hear it. Same thing. Most of us today are going to go somewhere to a restaurant to eat. You order when the food arrives. You look at that, or you ask, would someone have a short prayer? Now, we pray longer here, but don't pray too long with that food, because we want to eat. Well, wouldn't the same thing be true about going to church? Now, I think I know you folks well enough to know, when someone gets up here, within 5 minutes, you already know, does he know the Bible? Is he going to be in the Bible? Why is it today the Bible's not being preached in our churches? They gladly receive it. And I can tell you this, if a restaurant doesn't have good food around Thurmont, they'll go out of business because the word gets around. You got to have good food in a restaurant. You got to have the Bible in churches. And so it says they receive the word. And the word that they're talking about, it says they gladly received his word. There's two words, his word. That refers to the previous verses in this chapter. It was Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. If you're listening to Sunday school, this was the rhema. It was the exact words that Peter was saying on the day of Pentecost. So the word of God is what he was saying to them. And when they heard that word, and I get the impression earlier in the chapter, these were not people that were used to being in church all the time. But when they heard it, when you hear the word of God, you want to receive it quickly. So I call that instant acceptance. They were baptized. There was a reaction. Baptizing is identifying with Christ. We're buried with him. He arose. We're rising with him also. So verse 41 says, the reception of the word of God, instant acceptance. You want it. But then we go to verse 42. I call that continual activity. They gladly received his word. They were baptized. The Lord added. And they continued steadfastly. I call that continual activity. I know I'm a little older. It means I've been around a while. If I look like I'm getting old, I've had some battle scars. I want you to know I've been in the battle. I'm not a rookie. Rookie long gone. I'm not even a rookie on Social Security. So we've been around for a while. But I'll tell you this. The Christian life is not a 100-yard dash. The Christian life is a marathon. And I appreciate people that instantly join up. I want to know, are you going to stick with us? Now, almost every church that I've been preaching in, they've gone through some difficulties. I like it. Because I find out who's going to stick with us when the going gets tough. That's true in sports. It's true in politics. It's true in war. True in churches. And you may go through your problems here. A lot of churches go through problems. Most churches had to make adjustments with COVID. Some still making adjustments. So it takes a while. Steadfastly. The thing that has encouraged me over the years are people that continue and stay with the work of the Lord. God has blessed me over the years to have 12 men that have been ordained in the ministry. And I watched how faithful they're serving the Lord. One of them was a Navy chaplain who did get a brain tumor and wanted to be with the Lord. But there was a pastor in New England, a missionary in England, pastor in California, a couple down in Texas, one in Florida, around the country. And I like to keep up with them and continue serving the Lord. We're not a flash in the pan. We stick at it for a long time. And when the Lord brought us to my wife's home church, Grace Memorial Church, Cumberland, Maryland, the first convert was Jackie's Aunt Charlotte, March 1967. She accepted Christ as her Savior. Yesterday she called Jackie and wished her happy birthday. Still going to work. She's insisted living in Annapolis. She doesn't get out much. But she still reads her Bible. She still prays for March 67. And her sister, my mother-in-law, when we took over pastoring my wife's church, my mother-in-law did not go to church. She said, if Sam becomes pastor of that church, if he becomes pastor of that church, I'll come to church every week. She was a faithful attendee of my ministry for 38 years until the Lord took her. But as I look back over it, I had the least amount of problems in that time. I don't know what she put out all the fires. She must have carried a spiritual fire extinguisher. And any trouble, she'd take care of that. You know, that would bother my son-in-law. And so I'm talking about a longevity, staying with it Sure, you come on. We have good ideas. And even next week, I have to admit that, Demi, after you've met that, again, think of some illustrations I'm going to use next week, I'm going to have to already change them in 2 weeks. How I do outreach has changed over the year because society has changed. I used to knock on door. Now, that's not quite as acceptable. So there are ways we adjust, but you still keep doing it. And it says they continue steadfastly. It means persevere, persistent, strong. Note what they were faithful in. They continue fastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking of bread, in prayers. Apostles' doctrine. It's important that we have right thinking. Can you have wrong living? Right living if you have wrong thinking. You ever look at people and say, they're just thinking wrong. They're not thinking about this right. So apostles' doctrine means the word of God. Our doctrine's not dead. Doctrine's very much alive. So it's the teaching of the word of God. Titus 2 says, speak the things which become sound doctrine. Then fellowship means having in common. The fellowship we have here with one another. No, if I start with the word baker, it affects a lot of you in this church. I realize that. And so thank the Lord for that. Thank you for family on earth that also family of God. But there's a fellowship. It tells us in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And over the years as a pastor, once I've gotten to know the congregation, and sometimes somebody drops out. Occasionally it's because of a conflict with somebody else. But it ought to be our love for Jesus is bigger than anything that anybody else can do to us. Think what Jesus did for us. He died on the cross for us. So there is this fellowship. I know fellowship in this church here. And I'm glad to see people together. In some churches, you can hardly start the service because people are talking. That's better. Not going to talk to anybody. So I'm glad to see fellowship, see folks talking. I know one pastor thought that when people were talking, they were gossiping about him. It wasn't that at all. They were just having fellowship and enjoying being with each other and the family of God. Then it says, and in breaking of bread. Faithful in the ordinances. You folks have breaking of bread. We did it one time here. I apologize for figuring out how you do it, but it's still the same. And the bread represents his body, and the cup represents his blood. It was the same message. Jesus gave his body for us, shed his blood. He was buried. He arose. He's coming. So there's this fellowship of faithfulness in the ordinances. And then faithfulness in prayers. And in prayers. I really feel sorry for people today that don't have anyone to pray for. How do you do it? I mean, even myself, but sometimes when I'm facing a medical situation, I'm encouraged by people praying. But we're not the only ones to get COVID. I mean, you want to say people get COVID? Yeah. The other people, you haven't been to the hospital yet? But isn't it great to know that we're praying for one another? When I had my colon resection, we have people that are all around the country, actually around the world, praying for me. And some of them would call me. But you know, with the operation, your mind is not thinking it's clear. So I think, Jerry called me. I had one time, Jerry, did you call me? But to know people are praying for us. We pray for one another. And isn't it great to know that we can pray for one another? I want to know you folks. I pray for you by name. Starting with Jerry, working back this way, and start here, working back that way. Now, I pray for you by name in your directory. As what Frank says your name is. If your name is Bob and he says your name is Jim, I'm praying for Jim. So Frank is the one who tells me what your name is. But I try to pray by names. And isn't it great to know that while we're doing that, the Holy Spirit is praying with intercession that cannot be uttered. We can't even understand how God, the Son, of the Spirit, intercedes for us. So it's a time of prayer. Now verse 43 is one that I'm kind of getting ahead of myself from 2 weeks from now. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Not only reception of the word of God, but reaction in the community. Now, as I'm going to mention in 2 weeks, I've had to change how I respond to communities. One advantage I had when we lived down in the D.C. area, I was on the block of captains. So I had the inroad on at least those people because they want to know what the community is going to do. So we would talk about the block community, and oh, by the way, here's a calendar. Here's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So there are ways that we can have a reaction on a community. But I can tell you this. On 9/11, let's say 9/12, one day after 9/11, where were they looking? Remember back? The biggest prayer meeting our church ever had was 9/12. Remember 9/12? No, 9/11 was on Tuesday. Wednesday night, biggest prayer meeting we ever had. You know, in the NFL, you're not allowed to pray. Am I right? Can't pray in the NFL. Well, they're praying now, aren't they? That Buffalo Bills prayer. They're even praying on CNN. So I'm telling you this. The world knows where to go when there's a problem. And if there's a tragedy in Rocky Ridge, beside the rescue squad and the ambulance helping them, they'll know where to come. They'll come to us. I've had people that hardly would talk to me until they had a prayer request. That's fine. I don't mind. I don't mind praying for folks. So fear came upon these people. They knew what was going on. What's happening in America? Our churches are leading the nation astray. When we had that gay marriage on our to be voted on, the churches were leading for it, not against it. So our churches are not leading our nation in the right direction. Maybe Rocky Ridge, maybe another church of brother. Continue keeping forth the word of God. The fear of God, I'm not him, but if you were here when Arthur Rice was here, you got the fear of God. As big as he was, as long as his beard was, and as loud as his voice was, you did the mess with him. If you, I see the heads going up and down. If you were here, you knew what I'm talking about. The fear of God. Don't have quite the voice or the body like him, but we do have a reaction on the community, and I believe there is a testimony in that we have in the community you wouldn't know. Each of you have a greater testimony than you ever realized. Don't do this. But if you want to know how many people are watching you, do something stupid. And you'll find out how many people are watching you. There are more watching us. Satan says you have no influence. You have a great influence. And thank the Lord for this church and those that walk with the Lord. Now verses 44 and 45, the Church of the Brethren is a denomination. You folks locally do a good job. And that's responsibility for one another's needs. In verse 44, I say there's a right attitude. And all that believed were together and had all things common. That is, their attitude was right. I'm not different than you. And it's interesting to hear David and Jeremiah talk about temptation. Do you realize that preachers are tempted? I think sometimes more. And different. And to hear David and Jeremiah, I didn't say amen, but underneath that, I go, well, me too. And so we're all in this together. When someone gets up and says, I have all the answers, you're blessed to have me, you're going to be in for a falling. And so we have this attitude. In Romans 12, it says, every person not thinking of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. I think one of the things that happened, I went to Bible college, was to learn the Bible, but to be humiliated at every exam because the teacher, they used red ink when they graded my test. Why couldn't they use something, a pale blue or something? And it'd be embarrassing to put down a wrong answer. And so it was a humbling experience for me to say, we don't know everything. In fact, I'm still learning things in the Bible. When I teach the Bible, even preach, I wonder to myself, why didn't I see that the last time? So we have an attitude, we're all in this, everything belongs to God, and we share with one another. But then the action in verse 45 says, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So there was a sharing together. I guess today, still probably, the Amish would be a good example of that. When there's a barn fire, they all get together, and maybe one guy's going to milk the guy's cows for the barn's milk, and they work together. I think the Church of the Brethren does that too, working together. When I heard Debbie talk about the Heifer Project, I knew what that was. I'm aware of things like that can help around the world and help other countries. Right now, one of our missionaries that grew up in our church, Dan and Debbie, they had been in South Africa and Germany. They're back in Germany now, and getting newsletters, that church that they're ministering in Germany has a sister church in Ukraine right now. And I don't know how Dan's doing it, but every once in a while, he's able to take a load of things into the church in Romania, in Ukraine. And the church in Ukraine, some of them are living in a dangerous area, and they're coming and living with people in Germany, in Berlin. So here's the church in Berlin helping the church in Ukraine. Can you imagine what was going on in Berlin in the 40s? So it happens back and forth that we have help one another as we have need. It says distributing to the necessity of saints. So we're doing this. The church does it voluntarily. I say the proper use is found over in chapter 4. It says Barnabas, having land, sold it, brought money, laid it at the apostles' feet. So if there's a need, Jack and I, along with the church here, we cooperate with the Thurmont Food Bank. Occasionally I've gone along with them to help collect the food, and we're glad to do that and help one another, even in his physical ways. But in Acts chapter 5, it's so disgusting. Every good thing that a church does, someone can abuse it. You ever know that? Out of the goodness of your heart, somebody's going to take advantage of you. And in Acts chapter 5, this guy named Ananias and his wife Sapphira had land, and like Barnabas sold the land and said, here's, give it all to you. And he comes in and said, I sold land, and he gives it to him. But kept a little commission. Put a little bit in his side pocket and said, this is everything. It wasn't. He lied to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm giving you everything. But he didn't. And he dropped over dead. And people said, why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? His wife, not knowing about it, she comes in later on. Peter says, hey, by the way, you sell land for 30,000? Yeah. 45. 30, yeah. She drops over dead. I'm president of Utica Cemetery, so I can say this. If God did this today, I'd go down to Utica and start digging, because we know a lot of people get buried. If God did that today, first time you lie, you drop over dead. As I tell people, my ministry literally is from the womb to the tomb. So we have about 1,800 people that are buried over at Utica, and that's part of my ministry. But they lied to the Lord. So there is sometimes scandal in these organizations that collect food, but still you do it for the goodness of the Lord, and so it happened. Now, in Acts chapter 6 then, you had the good thing, Barnabas the good way, and Sapphira in the bad way. And then in Acts chapter 6, it says the Greeks murmured against the Hebrews because their wives were neglected. So the church was growing, and they weren't able to meet all the needs. And so the apostles got together and said, it's not proper that we should leave preaching the Bible to take care of the poor. So let's appoint seven men. Let's have a church council meeting. Let's appoint people. And they appoint people to take care of that. So needs all around. If you, I'm sure Debbie and Virg won the church here. If you have a need, let us know. I'm not a mind reader. There have been people that have had needs that, and with pride or whatever it is, they don't want to say anything. But if you have a need, let us know. We're here to help one another. And it's amazing how in the course of life, all of us have needs sometime or another. Have a need for this or a need for that. So there's responsibility for one another's needs. But then verses 46 and 47, reverence for the things of the Lord. With all that we do, it's still because of Christ. I enjoy preaching. But greater than that has to be my love for the Lord. Anything that you do has to focus on the Lord. Look what it says here in verse 46. Relationship with fellow believers. And they continue dealing with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. With one accord. I like to see churches where things move along. And when I was pastoring in the D.C. area, it was 26 years in New Carrollton Bible Church. We never had a board decision that was divided. It was unanimous. I didn't say we didn't have divided discussion. I didn't say it took a while to work things out. At one time, I had three Capitol Hill policemen on leadership of the church. What policemen do, they're nosy. But those guys saved my neck a couple of times because I'm too trusting, and they gave us warning. So it takes a while to work things out together and to see how the Lord would lead us, and we all come to the same conclusion. So there was one accord, this unity, the relationship with fellow believers. And then it's singleness means they did it simply. Don't get too complicated. Just serving the Lord. And then in the last verse, relationship to the Lord. Praising God. I will admit that 2 years ago, when my wife and I got COVID, and the Bible says praising the Lord, I got to take a deep breath about getting COVID. No pun intended there. But when we got COVID, I couldn't preach. I was out of the pulpit. When I got COVID, it settled in my throat. Because back in the 1990s, I had cancer in the throat, had radiation. And my voice was a problem, really a struggle. And so, thanking the Lord, but I can't hardly preach. And don't say amen. I had shorter sermons. When I got my voice back, it's like I got good news and bad news. Good news, my voice is back. Bad news, short sermons are gone. And my primary care sent me to a throat doctor. And the throat doctor sent me to a speech therapist to teach me how to speak. I've been a minister for 58 years, and you're going to teach me how to speak? That speech therapist worked on me, and she just would not quit. And so I've got a better lung capacity now. A machine I breathe in, a little thing I breathe into. And what that did was help me as I got older to have a better speaking voice. Now, when I got COVID, I didn't say, oh, good, God's going to give me a better voice. I could already talk. So we praise the Lord. He knows exactly what's happening. And I don't know why we have COVID, but it comes. And they were praising the Lord for whatever happens. When we have difficulties, we realize how great God is. And sometimes God puts continually in my life, maybe not yours, God continually puts me in spots where only He can get me out. And I'm not doing anything bad about it. When your health goes away, what are you going to do? And then when you go to the doctor and you've got to explain to the doctor what's going on. Praising God. When things are going rough, that's what they're getting at church. When you have a rough time, you're praising the Lord. And they were doing that there, and it says, then having favor with all the people. I mean, no one enjoys a grumpy person. But I think it's great to be among Christians when they have problems and they're just trusting the Lord. In my ministry, some of the greatest saints of God that I've had have been people that had major health problems. Some of them. My wife and I are the only ones that knew their health problems. They weren't going to make any news about it. Grandma Carter couldn't sleep at night. She had health problems. Oh, and he couldn't sleep at night. I said to her, Grandma, what are you doing at night when you can't sleep? She says, I pray for you. What about humbling? I mean, I get up on Sunday morning and I got a great sermon because it's me. I wonder if it was because Grandma was praying for me. And so another lady had a kind of cancer that can only be treated in Zion, Illinois. Had to drive from D.C. to Zion, Illinois. And she kept in church and testified how the Lord worked in her life. And other people say, I wish I could be like that. You want to get cancer like that? So it's not the situation that we're in, but the way we honor the Lord and glorify the Lord when we're serving the Lord, and the people understood that. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I don't know what the Lord's going to do here or any of the churches. But we know that God's still around. God's still in business. God's still saving souls. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So may this always be a gospel preaching church. May we always show people that you can't get to heaven on your own. Jesus died for you. He was buried for you. He arose again. You receive him as your Savior. You have eternal life, and he will direct you through life. May the Lord add all his blessing to us as we serve him and do his will. Let's bow down. Father, we give thanks for your grace and kindness. Thank you for this church here in Rocky Ridge and Rocky Ridge Church of the Brethren. And we'll keep praising you and serving you and looking out for one another. We're in this together. Thank you, you're leading us by your Spirit. May you all for your glory in Christ's name. Amen.
And number 323, please stand if you're able.
Stay on the promises of God.
keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.